man. Everybody's dressed up this way.
I need my swag bag. Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm in Chicago. I actually talked to somebody from Chicago the other day. I was just saying that how much I miss the city. There's a lot of work here now. A lot of new shows.
Five shows.
So good. There was a drought for so long there after we left.
And then everything got canceled. Like everything that's
well, everything went to Michigan because the tax credit stayed over. And Illinois was hurting for a long time. I'm really happy that it was left. And two of the shows there, but one of the shows there, ER London, David Davis got a show there.
Which one is that?
Yeah.
Is that the one with Christian
Slater? Mighty. I'd have to go to that.
But yeah, all right, so here's a question. We saw this week's episode. What the hell?
You like it?
Yeah, we liked it. What
do you mean, what the hell?
What's happening?
Well, that was the point.
In the role, and when you're doing that, those scenes, do you feel like, where am I? What am I doing? How aware am I of you?
Oh, incredibly present. I mean, I took more notations than that particular script than I put in any script I've ever done. Like, it really required, tonally just being right on the money. You know, as the suspicions are growing that something's wrong, and then you're in the world, you're out of the world, you're in the world, you're out of the world. Not to mention the fact that there was a technological achievement in that episode that nobody's really going to be able to appreciate except the people who did it, which is the scene between Moon and I in the coffee shop, where I go to see her. We shot her side of it in October on the soundstage because she was pregnant and had to go back to America to have her baby. And I had to be clean shaven for that scene. So we shot her side of it over a photo double of me. So I'm standing behind a pillar doing my dialogue for her and then telling the guy how I wanted to move and reach for the coffee cup. And then 3 months later, we went to a coffee shop in downtown Vancouver and shot my side of it over a body double for her while the script supervisor did the dialogue. And you cut it together and you can't tell.
And you had to remember all your
moves. Everything. I had it all written down. But it's like, nobody will ever know that that's how we did it.
Well, they will. The fact that
thanks very much. Yeah, get the word out.
I saw the whole thing go down.
You saw the whole thing go down. Yeah, Will's in that scene. Will had to be, exactly. He had to be in both places. Will Patton.
Alright, so I watched you in the library.
Thank you.
Especially, I like the third one.
Best one. First one's good. Third one's good. First half of the second one is okay. Second half of the second one is an abortion.
But, tell us how you really feel.
I can't even watch. I tell people, I'm thinking about watching the library. I go, watch one, watch three. You have to watch two, turn it off after we come out of, King Solomon's tomb.
Wow. We can't be that specific.
Sorry?
The continuity in three with, the baby scene is really weird. But anyway, how is it going? Those characters are kind of, this is not the same, but it's still, the same kind of adventurous thing.
There's similarities, but they're really, really different, Librarian is... You go to work every day thinking, all right, what would be funny? Pitch take, pratfall, what should we do? And we're just constantly engaged on a humor level. This is a very bleak world that we're inhabiting, and it requires, paying a lot of attention.
There is some humor in it.
Yeah, but it's very subtle.
Yeah.
I haven't done a spit take yet.
Yeah.
Pratfall.
I haven't done a pratfall. Not an intentional pratfall.
You always have to be
I think we should have more humor, actually.
This entire episode full of spit takes and crap.
Sure, absolutely. I want to see Cochise do a spit take.
Spent a spit take.
Exactly. Oh my god. $20,000 on the
show. Cochise doing all the talking over there, you see?
So we were talking about how the season's ending and it kind of some cliffhanger from your end. How excited are you now going into season 4? Kind of where you stand in season 3? Are you looking at a table how it is? Going forward, how excited are you for next season?
I'm really excited about next season. I feel in a lot of ways, like we figured this show out. First season, you know, we had a good idea. Second season, we figured out how to make it better. Third season, we'd established the characters, we'd established the world, and then we got to play a little bit with our narrative. And now, we know these characters, we know this world. The threat's gotten bigger and bigger and bigger, and I'm really excited to see what we can come up with next year.
I think you've gotten to know, who these people are in a kind of way where you actually feel, their skin is real, against this thing that is almost this other skin, So we're, these human beings sort of fragile in this alien world, and I think it's a very interesting conflict, and what switches over, who's, what is it to be an alien, what is it to be a human being,
Where does Earth fit into this war that suddenly doesn't seem to have a whole lot to do with us, but we find ourselves in the middle of it?
Yeah.
Is it frustrating to look back and say how long it took to get to this comfort zone? Or do you feel like it was a necessary push to go through that?
I'm amazed that we've been able to make 30 really strong episodes, given the fact that we've only made 30 hours of television, and now we're on our fifth showrun. That's a lot. That's a lot of turnover in the writing staff, who are all starting basically from scratch. Not like big hands of the Bible, and they're like, so this is where we are. They have to reconceptualize the show and make it their own, rightly so. The fact that we've been able to keep a thread of continuity through that kind of personnel change has been really impressive.
Yeah.
And I'm very excited about welcoming David Icke into this role, who obviously, you probably all know, comes from, Battlestar and a lot of other stuff. And we had a great creative meeting with him, and I'm really excited to sit down with him in a couple weeks and find out what he's drafted up for the season. But rumor has it's going to be great. Mr. Spielberg's very happy, and Mr. Michael Wright's very happy.
I don't think the relationship between Weaver and Solnit is broken down
a bit. More broken down? Well, has it?
When you say the trust between the two of them may not be...
Oh, well, it got strained in the beginning. There were some secrets that I was keeping.
Yeah.
And we had to redefine our roles. Putting Tom in the power seat is a real kind of role reversal for the dynamic of these two characters. But Will answers this question beautifully. I'm going to let him do it.
Well, I was saying that since the beginning, Tom and Weaver have exchanged certain things about each other. He's become more of a warrior, developed more of an armor, become more of a soldier, and my Weaver's heart has begun to open a little. He's become a little more responsible, caring, the things that Tom originally was. Weaver and Tom have exchanged these things. Mother, father, mother.
He's my father and my brother.
That's right.
The amazing family dynamic has always been kind of a core of the show, and a lot more so this season. They've even gone out on a mission together, everyone, all the sons and everyone together. How important is that to you guys that the core of the show is family?
It's the most important thing as far as I'm concerned, and we define family in two different ways. We define it in the nuclear sense among the Masons, and then we define it with the Second Mass, which is our group within the larger Charleston community. And in a lot of ways, and Will had this wonderful idea early on, that I give you all the credit in the world for it. It's so smart. Somebody asked us, what role does religion, what role does God play with these characters in this world? And Will said, the Second Mass is our religion. That's where we find our faith. That's where we find our enduring strength. It's in the relationships that they have created among this original core group of characters. So they may find themselves in a larger population, but they identify themselves singularly as the Second Mass first and foremost. And that gives the show a heart. It gives it a spine that we can hang on to and keep going back to as an anchor as we take the storytelling farther and farther out on the string. Having that to go back to keeps it based in reality.
Start to worry about whether or not we have let the form be maintained as is.
It's an ever-present worry, but it's also an ever-present creative challenge. That's the line you have to walk. You have to we're a genre show to an extent, but we're really a family drama at its heart. It's a very fine line to walk.
Yeah, Breaking Bad meets Downton Abbey.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming.